that love. We said that you're going to have to forgive one another. And there are times that even when godly people might have some friction or tension in a relationship, and there has to be a spirit of forgiveness. We said that we ought to be in one accord. We ought to be having the same goals, like-minded, and going in the same direction. And if we do that, I believe that we can have God's blessing. We said we ought to edify one another, build one another up. We are living in a society that is looking for sound bites and just want to have just cutting remarks and who can have the last word. But I'll tell you, that's not God's program. And that's not what God would have for church family members. We ought to be building one another up to edify. And then also to help, to bear one another's burdens. We said not only to amplify one another, but to assist one another. And how can we just tangibly help someone sitting down the pew from us? We talked about prayer, and we talked about some very just everyday things that you can do for somebody that might need some help. So I hope that you've been thinking about that. We said, be active in the ordinances. Take part. If you've not been baptized, get baptized. Of course, we said, in order to be a member, you have to be baptized. But when somebody else is, we said, encourage them. Encourage those that haven't been baptized. We said, when we're having the Lord's table, we ought to be participating in that. Make sure there's nothing between you and someone else and nothing between you and your Savior. And so you ought to participate. We said those are ways that we demonstrate or a visual testimony of what God has done in our lives through Jesus Christ. And then we said that we ought to be absorbed in the life of the church. We said it's important to be here, but being here is not enough. You ought to be involved with the life of the church. This Sunday, I said, we're going to pass out some calendars for the entire year. And I don't know about you, but our family has already scheduled our life around the church calendar. He said, oh, pastor, that's because you're the pastor. There's some truth to that. But I hope you don't have to be a pastor to make church life the center of your family life. And so we think it's important to be a part of what's going on. We said, if you're going to be a committed church member, you should advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is one of the stated purposes of Maranatha Baptist Church, is to promulgate the gospel. We do that through various outreach activities. We do that through our Saturday soul winning and then our church-wide soul winning once a month. All those things cannot take the place, however, of personal soul winning, making sure that you are looking for ways to meet lost people. And I told you, it is difficult in the ministry. It's difficult to keep from getting isolated because of the people that you talk to are saved, the people that you rub shoulders with are saved. And so we have to be creative and look for ways to meet people, develop relationships, and share the gospel. And tonight I want to talk about not just advancing the gospel, but to make an appeal to God for one another, to pray for one another. Before we start on this last point, I'm going to go ahead and let these fellows here pass out some prayer cards. If you have a prayer request that you'd like us to pray for, we'll collect these again at the end of the message, and we'll share them with the congregation, and we'll be praying for these prayer requests. You might have even a praise or an answered prayer. Those are always wonderful to come in as well. How many of you ever prayed a prayer like this? You just say, Lord, help that person. That's not a terrible prayer. First of all, you're praying. But if you can imagine getting any more generic, I'd like to hear how. Have you ever thought when you've prayed that, that's just kind of dissatisfying? It's insufficient? You think, is that the best I can do? I really believe in specific prayer. People might sometimes, they say, I have an unspoken prayer request. I don't want to be ugly, but if it's unspoken, then you take it to the Lord, because we're commanded to carry one another's burdens. Let's be specific. Now, I'm not saying it's gossip time. You know, you heard the fellow that said, you know, they're out on the boat and these preachers are confessing their sins. And one preacher says, listen, I have a problem with gambling And the other one says, well, listen, I've been taking some of the offering money. And the last one said, well, I have a problem with gossip and I just can't wait to get back to shore. That's not what prayer requests are. Prayer requests are specific in how God can work or act in someone's life on their behalf. It's not just a wish list. It's not just a generic, Lord. I mean, the only more generic prayer I've ever heard is, Lord, help all the missionaries. And you know, that sounds good, but what are you asking for? You know, I often pray in the beginning of the day, Lord, help me to have a good day. But I wonder sometimes at the end of the day, how do I qualify that? Did God answer my prayer? I really didn't ask for anything specific. You know, sometimes I fear we don't ask for things specific because we don't like the answer no. I don't know anybody that likes the answer no. It starts at about age 1 day, right? And if you live to be 101, we still do not like to be told no. And so as we pray to the Lord and we think, well, you know, what if he says no? We don't like that. I'm not saying that's the only reason we don't pray specifically, but I sometimes think that we would rather just pray generically so we can think that we have answered prayer in our life. You get to the end of the day and maybe you had a car wreck and something else bad happened and you lost your job, and you can still say, well, I had a pretty good day. The Lord answered my prayer. Now, we don't say that, but I'm just telling you, we don't pray specifically because we don't, because we want to be able to say we've had answered prayer. But I wonder if you realize the responsibility that God has given to us to pray. Now, I'm speaking specifically tonight about praying one for another. We don't have time, and even in this series, to really talk about our responsibility as Christians to go to God on a daily basis. But I do want to talk about our responsibility to one another. I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm going to look at verse 16 for just a few moments. We're not going to stay on this verse very long. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. By the way, that is not for all those years, I went into one of those things, confessional, and telling a priest all what you did wrong that week or that month or like most Catholics that year. Okay, but I am saying that it is a when you're tempted, and really, I believe James is talking about accountability here. And when you are honest and you have somebody that you can be transparent with, it will help you to keep from going in the wrong direction. And so I believe that's what he's talking about. Confess your faults one to another. And then what does he say? Pray for one another. Now, if you remember, on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at James. There's over 61 commands that are given, and this is one of them. He doesn't say, listen, if you think it would be really great for someone to pray for you, then pray for them. That's not what he's saying at all. What he is saying is, if you are a Christian, and I believe in the local church context that he's talking about here, and there is a family member that is hurting and needs your prayer, you must pray for them. It's not a suggestion that says, hey, if you have time or if you feel like it or whatever the excuses we use not to pray, I don't have time. No, we don't make time. We don't see it as a priority, or maybe there's something in our life that we know that God is not going to hear our prayer, and so we say, why would I want to get down on my knees and talk to God when he's not going to hear me, because I'm not willing to deal with whatever it is that's preventing him from hearing my prayer. I don't know what all the different reasons are, but I do know that James is specifically telling us here to pray for one another. In this context, it says that you may be healed. And we know that the paragraph about praying in faith for those who are sick, but the New Testament in total makes it very clear that the responsibility for Christians to pray for one another isn't limited just to the sick. Now, I'm going to give you several different verses throughout the night, but I want you to know that if God said it one time, if God said it just one time, that ought to be enough for a Christian to pick up the mantle of prayer and do it. But he says it over and over and over again. Why? Because I think he knows our hesitancy to invest our life in prayer. You know, I've spoken to many pastors that are older and maybe retired, and I ask them all the time, what is one thing that you would do different? Or I might ask them, well, what is something that you tell a younger pastor in the ministry? What would you really focus your time on? You know, I've never had one of them tell me I'd spend more time on sermon preparation, although I don't think that's a bad investment. I've never had someone say, I wish that I would have done X, Y, or Z. You know what I hear resoundingly? I wish I would have spent more time praying. Time and time again. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. What I want to do tonight, we're going to look at some lengthy passages of Scripture tonight. And you say, well, if just praying, Lord, help them get better, or Lord, help them, is not sufficient, what do you suggest? Well, I do think that praying specifically is good, but when you don't know what to pray, there are some things that I think we can open our Bible to and get some ideas. And what I call it is just praying through the Bible. So, if you can't think of anything else in the world to pray for, I'm willing, for your sakes, to take on this, well, I don't know what you want to call it, responsibility, burden. No, it's not a burden. Here's what I'm saying. If you can't think of anything else to pray for, you can pray for me. That's okay. That'd be all right. That's what Paul is saying here. But listen, don't just say, help, pastor. I need the help. But be specific. You know what Paul asked the Thessalonians? He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. That when he preached, it would have an effect on those that were listening. You say, wait a second. If I'm praying that for you, that means I'm praying that for me. Do you catch that? And be glorified, even as it is with you. His letters to the church of Ephesus, really to all the churches that we have, testify of his praying for them. Ephesians 1:16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hey, have you ever prayed that for a missionary? You say, what do you mean? I just say, listen, if you're praying for a missionary, why don't you pray for one of our missionaries? I don't know what one we have back there. Boy, they all go blank. Let's think of Brother Omar Schrock. Good man doing a work down in Brazil. And you say, Lord, would you help Brother Schrock to be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God thought it important enough to inspire this and preserve it, not just for all generations, but forever, do you think that'd be an important or a profitable prayer to pray for someone else? You say, well, aren't you just recycling a prayer? I'm not talking about going to the Methodist Book of Prayer. I'm talking about going to the Holy Bible, God's very Word, and utilizing the tools that he's given to us. You realize even the Lord himself asked for prayer while he was here on this earth? That's a staggering thought. I just want you to think about that. In Matthew 26:38, then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He was saying, watch and pray. Watch and pray with me. Just two verses later, in verse 40, he says, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I feel like that most mornings, right? The alarm's going off. The last thing you feel like, I don't know about your house, my house is cold in the morning. And we can come up with all different reasons why we're not going to spend time with the Lord, but you're never going to find a good one. You'll have reasons, but they'll not be good ones. And we talk about having our daily devotion. What does that mean to you? What does that look like in your life? Is it something that you just open the book, you read, and you're done? Well, I'm glad that you've connected with God in some way. I'm glad that you're allowing God's Word to come into your life. That's important. Reading God's Word is of paramount importance. But as I told you, that's easy compared to the work of praying. That's passive. You're just allowing the words to enter into your mind. But praying is active. That is labor. It is work if you do it right. What was one of the chief characteristics in the church in Jerusalem after Pentecost? In verse 42 of chapter 2 of Acts, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I love that verse because it always tells you that doctrine has to come before fellowship. But then it says how they were fellowshipping in breaking of bread, and we almost just skipped this last part, and in prayers. You know, when we come together on a Wednesday night to have a Bible study and a time of prayer, they're both important. And you can't substitute one for the other. First, in the Old Testament, Samuel was praying for his people. In 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Do you see? He thought and considered it a sin when he failed to pray for those under his influence. How do you feel when you skip prayer? Do you think you've sinned against God? Or do you just think, well, I'll make it up later. It's no big deal. It's just a missed appointment. We talked about bearing the burdens of others. We even talked just briefly about how bearing the burdens can be done through prayer. But then how can we then pray for one another? Obviously, each situation has its own specific, but I think one of the ways we can do, and what I want to spend just a few minutes on, is going through some passages of Scripture and praying through the Bible. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. This, by the way, isn't just for missionaries, but I think is very powerful and potent to pray some of these prayers for missionaries. Now, I don't know how much you mark your Bible up, but when you see a ye talking about who Paul is writing to, it might be a good place to underline that. Because when you see that underline, it might be good to put somebody else's name in there as you travel through the Scriptures. Verse 18 of chapter 1 says that Paul is praying for the understanding being enlightened, that ye, your neighbor, a missionary, someone down the pew, may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let me ask you this. Do you think missionaries ever get discouraged? I don't think it's wrong to say, Lord, help this person to be encouraged. Encourage this person, Lord. Send them somebody. Pray specifically. But listen, Paul knew that there's some discouragement that comes along the way for those that are in ministry. And he's saying in this instance that they would know, almost be reminded of the hope of their calling. You know, those times in ministry that I've ever been down, it's not very often, praise the Lord. But God has a way of reminding us of the purpose of our life. What are you here for? And if you understand that what your calling is in life, if you understand what you are to do with your life, and when you are in the middle of God's will, there's some encouragement to that. When you are doing exactly what you have been created to do, you ought to be encouraged. not only that, but to be reminded of the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His, that's God's mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Turn your Bibles just over a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 3. Start in verse 14, if you would. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that we would grant you," he's talking to the church of Ephesus, but you could put anybody's name in there, "according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." What is he asking for? Spiritual fortitude. Do you know anybody that needs some spiritual fortitude? Somebody that's going to make right decisions when they're put in that place of decision? Every one of us needs that. Verse 17 goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, that's a big, long sentence, but you know what he's saying? He's saying that you can really understand God's love for you. Do you want that understanding? Yeah, I think we all would. Now, how much more can you understand if the Holy Spirit is operating in your life because someone's been praying for you or because you've been praying for someone else? I hope that you're getting a different idea on what it is to pray, to intercede on someone else's behalf. It's not just a laundry list. It's not just a grocery list that you check off. It is the fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. It goes on in verse 20 to say, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." I think that's a good fitting way to finish a prayer, is to recognize and acknowledge the supremacy of Christ. Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul starts out and says, "And this I pray, that your love," talking to the church of Philippi, "may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment." Now, here's the ironic thing, if you want to say that. The church of Philippi was a very loving church. You know what? When I read that, I think, boy, I know some people I could really pray that need to love better. But you know, he's praying for those that already exuded that characteristic. This is a loving church, and he's saying, I pray that you abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. But I know a lot of people, including myself, that needs that knowledge. We need good judgment, that we may approve things that ye, may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Just take some time and go through. Now, you can do this through the entire Bible. I want you to know that. But I think certainly the epistles that are given to the churches are suited extremely well for that. And I'll tell you another place you can do this extremely well is praying through the Psalms. You just really see who God is. And I think of Psalm 18 as one of the anchors that have been in my life in times of despair. And when I see that the Lord is the high tower, I say, God, I need you to be my high tower. I need you to be my buckler. And you know what he is? He is those things. And when you call out to him and you recognize that, and whether it's for yourself or for someone else, it makes an understanding of who God is as you pray through what the apostle has prayed. 1 Thessalonians, we're not going to go through each one of these, chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. But listen, you could pray through the entire book of Ephesians, given enough time, and it would be time well invested. I wouldn't even say well spent, it's well invested. And so when we think about being a committed church member, is thinking about the needs of those around you and not just having generic prayers that looks like, you know, back when I was a kid, we didn't have store brand. We didn't have Great Value. You know, Great Value, they dress their stuff up on the box to make it look just like all the other brands. We had White Label. Do you remember that? You buy beans, and that's all it said on that thing. Just a black letter that said beans on there and a barcode somewhere. And I think we open the cabinet of our prayer life, and all we have is generic, not even store brand, beans sitting in there. And it's time that we spent and invested our life in praying for one another. And one of the best ways we can do that is going through some of the letters that were inspired of God that Paul penned, and praying one for another using some of those same ideas that he's given to us in his book. I'm thankful. I think that as I look out, I see prayer warriors. But I think that's, whether you're talking about soul winning or some of the other disciplines of the Christian life, prayer is always one of those things that we think, I could be more fervent. I could spend a little more time. I could just get a little better at my time with the Lord. Make your devotions truly a devotion to God through prayer. All right, I'm going to ask the men to come at this time and collect those